Translation. In this Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no contradictory conclusion, nor is anyone else's opinion accepted. I have written this book to describe the simple substance as I have heard it from superiors. If I become involved in someone's likes and dislikes, I cannot possibly write the simple truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The simplest thing for human being is to follow the producers. Judgment according to mundane senses is not a very easy process. Whatever is awakened by attachment to one's producers is the way of devotional service as indicated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The author says, however, that he cannot consider the opinion of those who become attracted or repelled by such things, because one cannot write impartially in that way. In other words, the author is stating that he did not inject personal opinion in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has simply described his spontaneous understanding from superiors. If he had been carried away by someone's likes and dislikes, he could not have written of such a sublime subject matter in such an easy way. The actual facts are understandable to real devotees. When these facts are recorded, they are very congenial to the devotees, but one who is not a devotee cannot understand. Such is the subject matter for realization. Mundane scholarship and its concomitant attachments and detachments cannot arouse spontaneous love of Godhead. Such love cannot be described by a mundane scholar. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swam Itinam Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashkachir Satan. In this Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no contradictory conclusion, nor is anyone else's opinion accepted. I have written this book to describe the simple substance as I have heard it from superiors. If I become involved in someone's likes and dislikes, I cannot possibly write the simple truth. What a beautiful shloka. It's actually describing the way to accept and to survive in Krishna consciousness. Wherever you have the sun coming up, there will be the shadow. So wherever you have the truth coming up, there will be some pseudo-truth coming up. Some shadow-like type of so-called truth. This is described actually in the seventh canto. There is even a technical descriptions of pseudo-religions, pseudo-spiritual knowledge, imitations. Something actually, it's very dangerous because it looks like the original, but it's not. That's more dangerous as to see something else. Srila Prabhupada was very, very rigid on that point. And he collected his critics and he collected his enemies, coming exclusively from the ranks of people who always try to use the original to invent, to implement their own ideas. Prabhupada said, you can do that. Krishna actually gave you the freedom to sit down and concoct something new. You can make a new religious movement, you can make a new religious book, you can make anything, you can concoct. Prabhupada called it products of people with fertile brains. You know, there is some intelligence, there is some capability to invent something. Prabhupada, Krishna gave you the freedom, you can do that. But don't touch Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's book. Krishna has a copyright. We know the copyright law. There's an author and he has the copyright. That means nobody can touch the book without his permission. Nobody can take even a part of it and publish it, taking out of context. That's also a great way to pervert things. Actually, the little piece is real, but it's disassembled. So suddenly it appears in another context and actually it gives it another meaning. Srila Prabhupada was so rigid. Oh, to be an editor, I was fortunately just on the street distributing these books. But those who were editing, oh, Prabhupada was so rigid. I remember this one lecture, he goes, as I state in an easy journey to other planets, we never went to the moon. Then there's a silence in the public. Prabhupada immediately noticed. And he said, something wrong? Bring me the book. Then one devotee said, Prabhupada, it's not stated there. Prabhupada just grew furious. He said, bring me the book. And it wasn't there because the editor didn't like it. So he took the whole section out. Prabhupada was furious. He said, nothing is going to be changed here. This is, he said, you change one word, you change the meaning. So if you want to concoct something, please write your own book. Invent your own spiritual movement, be your own guru, be your own everything, but don't change anything. So this is the mood of those who actually are close to Prabhupada. People call us sometimes fanatics. They call us outdated because we don't fit into the present context. You know, we don't go along the time. The old dinosaur, the fanatic. Fanatic is somebody who actually, you know, voices his own opinion and pushes it through. All dictators do that. All these autocrats and all these fascists and everybody's doing that. Mr. Goebbels, he was really good. He said, the truth can be defined along the needs of the particular time and given circumstances. You know, he was completely at ease with that. He knew how many people you can cheat. This is the shocking realization you get in Kali Yuga. How easy it is to cheat people. Very easy. You just listen what they want and you rephrase the whole thing. And so they like it. They think, oh, he understands my heart. He's saying exactly what I thought. He understands my desire. Wonderful. I will vote for him. I will follow him. It's so easy to do this. But there's a heavy statement in the Shastra that you can cheat massively people for a short time. That we saw demonstrated in the history of mankind. And you can cheat few people for a long time. But ultimately, you cannot cheat everybody for all the time. Always, somewhere, the truth is surfacing. And the fact is, those who truly seek the truth, they may be not so many. You know, because it's very convenient to get cheated. It's very easy. It doesn't take much endeavor. You just follow the flock. Actually, you follow the majority. You just follow the line. Especially the Shudra type, they like it. You don't have to endeavor, nothing. You just follow the line. And they get strength from congregational spirit. We are the majority. Democracy is built on that principle. You people vote. Yes, the majority. So why should you complain? The majority voted for that. Don't complain. The responsibility is shifted to masses. And Prabhupada didn't make any secret out of this, that these masses are not qualified. He said the beauty of Vedic concept is that the leader takes the responsibility. It's his karma. He goes to hell if time comes, not the people. People just follow. So this is actually the comfort to follow the predecessors, to follow the authority. Because the responsibility, of course, we have the choice who we want to follow. That's our choice. And along that, we also get the karma. We share the karma. But the major load of the karma goes to the leader. Prabhupada was very open, and actually he was taking responsibility. Even for things which were done wrong, Prabhupada said, ultimately, I'm the leader. This is my responsibility. He was very extremely humble in this regard. He was criticized for things his disciples did, which were sometimes very strange. And Prabhupada took responsibility. What are they doing in Japan? And Prabhupada ultimately said, well, at least we are doing something. You know, the critics, they don't do anything. That's so easy. Any manager I personally was a temple president for more like 20 years. So whenever I meet a temple president, I immediately make dandavats. I don't even know who it is. I don't even know what he's doing. I don't even his quality. But the fact that he can sustain this and prevail in such a post, it's admirable. Because it is a place which is not really enjoyable. Prabhupada said, you can judge your success by the amounts of critics. Because if you do something, Kali Yuga especially is such a time, immediately the critics will come up. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is, in one sense, this shloka, this text is pretty heavy. Very uncompromising. He is declaring his unwillingness to follow people's likes and dislikes. In other words, not their emotional thing. Often when we have problems, you always come to the bottom of the whole thing. It's of an emotional kind. I like you, I don't like. We used to call it the chemical problems. You know, there's people who are spontaneous you don't like. And you can be very wrong. You can be very wrong. Spontaneously, the senses and your composition will tell you, this is a strange guy. In Sankirtan, you learn all this. You meet people, they look horrible. They take a book. Suddenly, out of nowhere, they are, what is it? Very nice. And you people, they look very nice, very cultured. And they are disgusting. They are proud, arrogant, you know, even in a mode of goodness, but fascinated. I'm in a mode of goodness. I'm superior to everybody else. And immediately the whole process is ruined. Actually, this movement is sometimes attracting very wretched people. People in a strange conditions of life. Desperate, seeking shelter. You know, it's called hippie. This started with the hippies, okay? People who don't follow one regulative principle. Well, maybe vegetarianism was there. That was coming up. The rest, forget it. People, but they had one quality. That's what Prabhupada saw it. So he was going not for the professors initially and for the high-class people. He was going for the low-class people. Wretched, intoxicated, homeless, sleeping on a street, talking nonsense, speculating. That's hippie. You know, dirty, filthy. That's hippie. Why did Prabhupada turn to that crowd? He had choices. Like he said, I could have gone to England. He thought, I was thinking, shall I go to England? My godbrothers went to England. They were not very successful. Shall I go to America? And then Prabhupada could foresee, America will be the place where everybody will follow. If people like America or hate America, it doesn't matter. They copy America. You know, yeah? Why? I don't know. It's the country with no culture, really. Chewing gum and Mickey Mouse. That's the only thing America ever produced. And lots of guns. Lots of guns. You know, American logic is, are you democratic? We know that. And they're all over the place with their guns. You know, are you democratic? You know, always like democratic at the gunpoint, you know. I have to pledge my loyalty to democracy, but it's always the gun. It's not very democratic. Just let's get away from the gun. Let's talk. And they go, no talking. America's here. Ha! That's the argument. You know. So this is, Prabhupada knew that mentality instinctively. And he said, if you, use it in Krishna consciousness, you know, here we are, Krishna conscious Americans. That's going to make an impact. Unfortunately, we have a great competition. It's Mr. Kali and his hedonism, and Americans are professionals. If you really want to go fast to hell, Americans will teach you how to do that. The worst type of sense gratification. All the intelligence, senses applied, you know, how to degrade even more. And it's eagerly copied in all the countries. Very nice, very nice. Let's go to hell very fast. Yes. Very, very, you know, very refined ways. I'm coming from the 60s, you know. We were really breaking the boundaries, you know. I'm coming in the 60s, people I knew, I was an artist, so they were all dreaming hippies. But people I knew, basically they evolved to three stages of existence. You could become a drug addict, terrorist, or Hare Krishna. It was basically three kinds of things. And they were not military-minded, they just hated everything. Whatever the teachers told us, we were going, why? Same thing here, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami is saying. I'm not going to be for people pleasing their likes and dislikes. So this attitude was already there, especially in the 60s. Prabhupada saw it. He said, these people are by already installed in a way where they go, no. We used to drive our teachers crazy. Whatever they said, we were going, why? Where did you get that from? And the teachers were going, but this is our books. We are teaching here. I said, who wrote the books? You know, water, the chemical formula of water is H2O. And he said, why? Well, you know, this is established. By whom? Nobody knows. They call us that we are following blind faith. Their lives are full of blind faith. They just repeat, like blind donkeys. You know, they just repeat. And it's in a school. It's academic. It's academic stupidity. And they just have to repeat that. Follow the line. Then you get a degree. I learn it all. Now I can repeat it like a parrot. Ma, ma, ma. Ma, ma, ma. Very good professor. Ma, ma, ma. Very good. Doctor, doctor, PhD. Ma, ma, ma. We were all like this. We were just thinking, what kind of... So Prabhupada came exactly right. He explained to us what we already felt. He said, of course you should question everything. Use your brain. Prabhupada always stressed logic in connection with religion. That was something new. We never heard about that. Religion means faith. And logic means brain. Faith can be done without brain. We know that. So Prabhupada said, no. This is brain-powered faith. This synthesis was never heard before. It was fascinating. Hey, I can use my brain. I can become, and on a basis of my brain, I will deepen my faith. Fantastic. So there was, this was interesting. And Prabhupada again stressed it. Do you understand what I'm talking? Do you understand what I'm talking? We were all, nobody understood one thing. So Prabhupada repeated that again. And he even made a mock fights. He could become a perfect communist, perfect demon, perfect atheist, perfect this. And he was going, what about if they argue like that? He was preparing us for this, you know, for the opposition. Yeah. And he was very amazed. Prabhupada could be a perfect communist. Perfect rascal. He was so arguing, so convincingly. They were like, Prabhupada said, so what do you guys have to say? I defeated you. Chin Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's right, but we should not chant blindly. Even the chanting, we should know what we are doing. It's not like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, Hare Krishna. No, there's a prayer, there's a meaning to it. My dear Krishna, please engage me in devotional service. Some devotees, they chant, you know, when the service is coming, they have no time. I have to chant. What do you mean? You just ask for it. Now the service is coming. You know, and they go, no, chant, Hare Krishna. It's like going in a restaurant, you order something from a menu, they bring it, and you go, what shall I do with it? And they go, well, you should eat. You ordered it. No. But you're in a restaurant.
No, no, I'm just ordering.
Doesn't make really much sense. So if not the result of chanting is a heightened enthusiasm and eagerness to embrace some service, then something went wrong. And what went wrong? Our own subjective opinion. That's a problem. Prabhupada called it opinionated. He is opinionated. I think, I believe, in my opinion, I feel that. Prabhupada said, when you start like this, then you can just stop right away there. He said, there's no need to continue. Because why? Because it will change. I feel, I think. Well, 2 minutes later, I feel, I think something else. So what's the use to discuss such a thing? And we saw. It's interesting when devotees are falling in Maya, how they argue. It's always the same song. It's like the same tape. You ask the devotee, but you preach this. This is Prabhupada saying this. How can you change like this? And they go, hey, I grew out of it. You know. And Krishna has a simple analysis for that situation. Arjuna is asking him, what is pushing me to do things? Even I know I shouldn't do that. I'm still capable to do this. I have a desire to do this. What is this? Krishna goes, this simple. It's lust. The all-devouring enemy, lust. It can drive you so crazy that you know even this is going to kill me. And you will do it anyway. You know, they have on the cigarettes big sign. You smoke this, you will die. I don't know in England, but in Europe they edit even graphical pictures to that. That's how your body will disintegrate. It's disgusting, you know. And still they buy it. In England there was a man who took it. It's typical English humor. He took it as inspiration. So he published his own brand of cigarettes with a skull on it, with the two bones, like, you know, deadly area here. You smoke and you die. Became very popular. People are going, oh, that's very nice. Let's smoke and die. This is the mentality, the Mayavada self-destructive mentality installed into people everywhere. Once you don't believe that there is law of karma, you will be held responsible for your actions. And you don't believe that there is a life after life, so then where is the responsibility? There is no superior control. Let's do it. Life is short, you know. Let's do it and go to hell. Who cares? And even Prabhupada was shocked when people said, why are you always arguing that or mentioning that if you don't fulfill the purpose of human form of life, you will become a dog or an animal? He said, I like to become dog. It's very nice. Free food. No rent to be paid. No tax department. You know. It's nice. And as a matter of fact, in the West, it's quite comfortable to become a dog, usually. They will take care of you very lovingly and very nicely. Once again, mentioning America, they have the most fancy graveyards for dogs. Big. There's even a man who, his dog inherited his whole property. He wrote a testament. My dog is the next owner. You know? So it's nice to be a dog. In India, not so nice. That's really bad karma. And the dogs like it. As pious dogs in India, in Vrindavan, they will lay down even on the tracks where the trucks are driving, just to be killed by the truck. It takes quite a determination to do this. They just wait. This is the place to die. Yeah. Prabhupada said, actually, to have that kind of form in Vrindavan, he called it the back door to Vaikuntha. The back door. Because even the dog will go back home, back to Godhead. So, it's amazing, actually. And they know that. Very humble, very. The Western dogs, they are puffed up like anything. You know, it's such a little dog, and he goes, you know, it's just, you're saying, come on, you know. I remember once on Sankirtan, that was a big problem, book distribution. You enter people's properties, always a dog. Beware of dogs. How do you make it to the main building? Through the garden, there's a dog. So we developed a whole thing around that. I can teach you how to neutralize dogs by dint of an umbrella. You know, their nose, very sensitive. That was for the heavy guys. You knew I cannot count, I cannot mediate with this dog. I was going, and then you just have to, with the umbrella, get into the nose. With the tip of the umbrella. Oh, he will become very humble. But that was for the extreme cases. The normal cases you can talk to. Yes, you are a big dog. I recognize you are the authority. Great, I'm coming in here. Don't worry, don't worry. Sometimes people were shocked. They opened the door and the big dog was sitting next to me. They're going, what have you done to my dog? He bit a postman yesterday, you know. I told him, this is all in the book here. This is all. You know. So we used even the dogs for Sankirtan. Actually, people are so attached to dogs. Sometimes I offered the book to the dog first. You know. And the dog was, it's okay. And I told the man, he likes it. You have to buy a book for him. You know, and the man was just laughing. And actually, he bought a book. So things like this you can do on Sankirtan. There are, you know, individual creatures. So this is what's happening when you are preaching. Preaching is not for Mayavadis. You cannot preach like a Mayavadi. You must learn to understand that we are all eternal, individual persons. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes the risk to get even nowadays, in today's context, this is very controversial. I don't pay attention to people's likes and dislikes. I simply present the truth and simple truth. Oh, people think, simple? That's primitive. That's a logic we got installed there through the education, that if something is very complicated, you cannot understand it actually. Scientists are very good at this. They invent even their own vocabulary. You know. And cheating gurus too. They go, this is supra-consciousness. That's Aurobindo talking. You know, supra-consciousness. What is supra-consciousness? Well, nobody knows really. It's not in the Shastra. But people go, oh, this must be something very special. We never heard about this before. The cheaters work like this. They, you know, and scientists, they speak in such a complicated way. People go, oh, that's scientific. I cannot understand one word. That must be scientific. You know, our approach is completely different, especially coming through the line of Srila Prabhupada, who made something very complex. Vedas, very complex body of knowledge. And he put it so nicely. So even a simple bhakta can understand. One devotee, even he got a doubtful. He said, Prabhupada, I can understand everything you are talking. But still, you said Krishna consciousness is simple. Prabhupada said, yes, but I didn't say it's easy. Because to be simple actually is not easy. We are such a complicated people, always try to look complicated, even we are in essence not complicated. Prabhupada put it very simply. He said, everybody wants to be loved, and he wants to love. Everybody wants to get something and give something. And everybody wants to serve. So these needs, to fulfill these needs, you don't have to be complicated for that. You know, yeah. If we would be more honest, then we would just admit, nobody loves me. Yeah. And here comes Prabhupada and here comes Krishna and they say, don't worry, we are loving you. When you understand, get a glimpse of Krishna's love for us, all your needs are fulfilled. Because Krishna will love you by any means. That love cannot be broken. Krishna doesn't go, and now it's enough. You know, you disgusting rascal. Even if we act like disgusting rascals, Krishna still loves us. And he's patient, waiting. When will that rascal wake up? And then you get a glimpse of it. This is what happens when you watch the exchange of pure devotee and Krishna. We saw it. I saw it here. Prabhupada was sitting there. We were all, this was packed with devotees here. When the curtain went open, Govinda Madhipurusham, the whole temple room was going, ah. You know why? Because we all Radharani looking at Prabhupada like this, going. Her eyes open and she was like this, just focusing on Prabhupada. Everybody could see it. We were like, ah. And after that, we were standing out here, we were going, did you saw it? Radharani opened the eyes like this. She looked at Prabhupada. You didn't have to be a very, you know, Parahamsa kind. And that moment, in the presence of pure devotee, we could all see it. It's not all the time you get such a things to see. Sometimes, you know, devotees interpret, you know, them visions, some realizations. But it's actually all sifted through the mind. The mind can make you believe, you know, actually you are liberated. Vimukta manina means, yes, I know it. That's me. I didn't even know how pure I am. Look, there's a pure devotee sitting here. The only problem is that nobody believes that. Then you have a problem. Then you have to devise all kinds of techniques how to convince them that you are a pure devotee. The wrong approach. It's really demanding. It takes very much power to concoct your false identity, convince others about it, and protect it from those who will clearly see that you are a cheater. This is very energy exhausting. It takes so much energy to do that. So actually, to be honest, simple, and simply accept the simple truth, it's a very easy process. It's written here. It's very simple and easy. The only price we have to pay for it, to abstain from whatever we heard before and whatever we actually think. Sometimes there's one, in Sunday feast, one guest challenged me. Okay, you are quoting here. What is your opinion? You know, and I said, my opinion? No. He was shocked. He said, you have no opinion. You are brainwashed. You don't think. I said, obviously I think. Otherwise I couldn't talk. But it's another thinking, another talking. It's not, I feel, I think, I believe. You know, that can change any time. Sometimes I got so provoked by these discussions. Devotees even sometimes have discussions. Prabhu, what do you feel? Yeah, of course we feel something. I was honestly thinking, I feel I have to go to the toilet. It was very unpleasant for him to hear this. He said, oh, this is really disgusting. No, this is practical. Very practical. We all have to do that. So this is what you feel. What do you think? Oh boy, I can think anything. Mind is so deceiving. I can talk to you now, thinking about Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. I can quote Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I can still think something else parallel to that. Isn't it amazing how rascal that mind is? I remember devotees on Sankirtan coming down from the street just laughing. You know, and I was going, oh, he's in ecstasy. No, he was just laughing about his own mind. Because when you do such a wonderful service like book distribution, Krishna will bless you and you will see your mind and you will see your body. You will be out. You get a view. Oh, that's my mind. Yeah, the devotee was laughing, coming in the evening, distributing many books, and he came to the car, he was laughing. And I said, what, how was it? Was it nice? He said, yeah, it was nice. But you know what I just thought? About my grandmother. What is my grandmother doing on Sankirtan? Just, or one of my godbrothers. You have his picture there on the door. Anyway, he likes to sit on Govardhan. And he told me honestly, he said, I was the whole day sitting on Govardhan chanting. 60 rounds, ecstasy.
And then I was finished. The sun was going down. You know what I thought? About the last concert of Rolling Stones I joined before I joined this movement. I was thinking, what are Rolling Stones doing on Govardhan? That's the mind. It was one devotee coming, running to Prabhupada. Prabhupada! I was just thinking how to slap you. Prabhupada was just smiling. He said, that's okay. It's just the mind. And the devotee was very happy. Ah, it's just the mind. Ah, there's nothing but the mind cannot tell you. Fortunately, and there should be, some intelligence which goes, nonsense, finished. Prabhupada said it once. He said, I can also see. I'm an old man, but I can still see. There are many beautiful girls dancing in this movement. I can see that. I'm a man. I can see this. But you Americans are always planning further. That means, the senses register, the mind starts to think about it, but then the intelligence comes and starts to make plans. Nice girl, how do I get there? How do I come close? I don't give you now a seminar how to seduce women, but they are professionals. They are professionals. Really, they know how to do that. And sorry, ladies are sometimes really less intelligent because the men are so have such an easy time to cheat them. It's really too much diseases, you know. As a manager, I was working in that department. I was managing restaurants and this. We had Mataji serving. Some people, they didn't came to eat. They came for the Mataji there. And the Matajis were knocking on my door. Hey, there's this guy again. So next time I was serving. And I tell him, it's prasadam. Take prasadam. You are welcome. The ladies here, they belong to Krishna. No ladies eating here. Just prasadam. There was even one man who didn't let it go. He was expelled. I told him, okay, then no coming. This is a vegetarian movement. We are not eating ladies. Okay? Out. And then he was waiting outside. And the Matajis were getting out of the restaurant going, ah, he's out there in the bushes. So I also was in the bushes. I was dating him. I remember him lying in the bushes. Slightly damaged face. And I told him, I told you, this is a vegetarian movement. Pop! Anyway, I was younger, you know. Anyway. So this is sometimes, you have to do that. This is management. Some people don't let it go. So what is actually the meaning of this movement? What is our purpose of being here? Actually to learn the truth. Simple truth. Nothing has to be added. Nothing has to be subtracted. Prabhupada said, I give you everything you need. The word everything, it's really everything. You don't need anything else. No. And then there'll be always those who want to put some spice and some, just for one reason. There's only one reason, to look distinct. I'm special. I brought something and I speak about something and I know something you don't know. And then the problem starts. You just add something and people go, oh, this is the new Krishna consciousness. Even one devotee even said, Prabhupada, being with you in New York in the early days, it was a very special thing because it was a very intimate, close association to Prabhupada. This was the good old days. Prabhupada looked at him and said, there is no good old days in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it's always the same. People say, same? That's boring. No. It's always Navayovanam. It's always fresh and new and the same. That you can experience only on a spiritual platform. Like these books. You can read them over and over and over again, and it's always new. It's always new. It's never the same. You can open any book from Prabhupada and think, oh, I read it a million times, but now this is still new. This is fresh. Because it brings new realizations. We are evolving through the life. So like one of my godbrother, he told me, 40 years I was preaching, we are all going to die. Now I start to understand that. Why? It's coming. So suddenly the whole thing takes another meaning. Oh, yeah, I will die. And suddenly you read it differently. There's another realization to it. When you are 25 years old, you go, ah, we are all going to die. Ah, you have no idea. You just think, ah, I will die, I will die. Yeah, 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 yeah. In a certain age, you go, we will all die. Sounds more convincing even. I notice, I say exactly the same thing what I said when I was 18 years old. The same thing. That's the beauty of the whole thing. You don't have to invent anything. I know what to say because I was saying it since 48 years or something like this. There's no need. But I notice people respond differently. I have not so much argument because they go, how long are you doing this? And they know, they can feel, so long? It's not long. I mean, tell you, in Krishna consciousness, 48 years is nothing. I just feel, I just walked yesterday in a door. Do I wake up and shake in ecstasy of love of Godhead in the morning? No. I shake because I have to go to the toilet or something like this. It's just, come on. But one thing, yes, yeah, certainly, there must be some taste, otherwise I wouldn't be here. Because if it doesn't taste good, then you are not doing it. That's a simple thing. So some taste must be there. But essentially spoken, if Prabhupada wouldn't be here and bring this taste to us, then what kind of idea we would have with Chaitanya Charitamrita? What are we doing with that book? You know how unique that book is? This is the most condensed, you know, sutra-like collection of pure love of Godhead. You know, quotes, ecstasies. When this book was published, we know how it was published. It was total marathon time. There was a deadline on this, which drove everybody completely insane. I was just on the street distributing. I didn't know about this, but I heard and I met devotees who were part of this. When they see Chaitanya Charitam, they go, oh. There was no sleeping. There was no eating. There was a heavy deadline. When Prabhupada said, I want that book or that date being published, the first thing, the BBT and this, Prabhupada, this is not possible. He said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And he was going for it. Even the illustrations to Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm coming from an artist community, I tell you, the worst is you can do to an artist that you touch his painting. But these devotees were so desperate. One was painting the illustrations and he had to take rest, and the other one continued to paint the same painting. He woke up and he was going, oh, who did this? No, it had to be published. There were devotees just flying to India making photos from the locations. The editing was, because it was no computer really, you know. You know what the layout, how a layout was done those days? You printed the Bengali or Sanskrit on a special huge machine. It came out printed, and then you pasted it, cut it out line by line, and you pasted it and photographed. Now today, computer, today I know a BBT manager here, he's managing from a laptop, the whole thing. But those days was huge machines, cameras, everything. Very manual work, actually. So devotees were going crazy. They stopped sleeping. They stopped eating. It was going on day and night. And finally, actually it came out. I don't know who it was. It just brought Prabhupada the first volume of Adi Leela. And he was going, it's done. And Prabhupada was going, very nice. Now the next point was, who is going to distribute this? Devotees were reading. They were like, Prabhupada, what is this? Nobody could understand. Prasadam offered Boga, to Lord Chaitanya, prasadam is the food mixed with the saliva of the Lord. I mean, just imagine for a mundane person open a book like this. God is eating. That's already a very revolutionary concept. And God is, we are eating what is mixed with his, God has a saliva. Oh, it was like shocking. The most intimate pastimes of the Lord being revealed here. So it was difficult to distribute that. I remember these books end up in a containers, in a special warehouses. And there were portion was actually much of first print Chaitanya Charitamrita was shifted to India. Because there was still some audience for that. On the street, people were like, they couldn't understand the graphic outline. What is this? This is Chinese. I remember people opening Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they were just like, what is this? You know? And then they read the text. It's like, Prabhupada said, I don't care. My spiritual master taught me to publish his books. I follow him blindly. I don't care. And we had actually, I remember in Stockholm, in Sweden, that's a place where people look like refrigerators, you know. You go, hello, and it's like opening a refrigerator. You know. They just, it's amazing. Just to get eye contact in that country, it's dangerous. It's offensive. They know how to look through you. It's amazing. You go, hello, you offer me a book, and you go, there's no contact. You think there must be a soul somewhere in that body, you know. It's moving, it's breathing. Where's the soul? And they just... So it's just... That's what we basically preach by prasadam. This is really a very heavy weapon. Just people taking prasadam and they go... We used to watch this in a restaurant. We used to go, hey, sweets are eating. They were just, and they go, completely confused. I'm happy. I'm laughing. This is not normal. What's happening to me? You know, this is nice. Prasadam is like that. So we have so many weapons Prabhupada gave us to fight this Mayavada. But there was a time we had so much Chaitanya Charitamrita in a warehouse. So our GBC said, it's enough. It was a special time. There was problems between devotees. And he said, the final solution to all this is everybody goes on marathon. Everybody. So we emptied out the temple. There was nobody. There was just, you know, there was even a time, even the pujari had to go out. He said, I cannot go out. I have to do the puja. He said, put a glass of water in front of the deities and tell them, sorry, I'm going on Sankirtan. That was a very special time. So we did that. There were so many devotees in a shopping street, you cannot imagine. There was almost as many devotees as kamis on a particular point. People were desperate. They were running here and there, and everybody was somebody standing with Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hello, hello, hello. I remember I was at the end of the shopping street. The man came out. He was going, okay, okay, I will buy it, I will buy it. He was, oh, I mean, we drove kamis crazy. And the books got distributed, and there was no problem anymore. We came back to the temple, everybody was happy. And this is what's happening when you have the same mission, same goal, same task, and the same spiritual master in its purpose, okay? Then suddenly things become very easy. I like, I dislike, I hate you, I love you. Not needed to even think about this. I mean, I definitely met people in Krishna consciousness, ending up sitting with them in a Sankirtan van, which I would never meet in my life. I mean, I grew up at home, you know, I'm more the mamas, you know. I was just sitting at home, mama was cooking. And then I thought I will change the world from the kitchen. I had a big ideas, some ideas. I didn't know how to do that, but I had some grand ideas. Sitting still in a kitchen, I was thinking, this artist, you know, big brain, big fantasy, but nothing is happening. That's called artist, you know. So I was so, I have to write everything down. I'm so genius. I just wrote the whole day. My, I think, I feel, I believe, I like, I dislike. The whole books like this, diaries, this size. Fortunately, my parents burned the whole thing when I joined. You know, it was just thinking, feeling, you know, and again thinking, feeling, and desiring. It's good, it's consciousness. Okay, I was conscious, but completely locked up. Most of the people are like that. Just, you know, running in circles all the time. So then I can join the temple, and naively, I joined in Germany. I'm not a German, but I joined there. That was the real right place to join, you know. And I just joined basically a paramilitary group of people. Most of the devotees, they already had a criminal record in such a young age. You know, I was in jail and blah, 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 blah. I heard the talks all the time, you know. I was going like, and they were all full speed. When you are young, you don't discriminate between mode of passion and enthusiasm. It's the same thing to you. So they were all, you know. Mangala Artic was like the windows were going like this in the temple room. You know. If you didn't jump and touch the ceiling in the Mangala Artic, you were in Maya. As a matter of fact, just to sit down and read a book was suspicious. What are you doing? Are you sick or what? No, I'm reading here, you know. That you can do when you are old and sick. But now we are all going. That's the German mood, you know. Work. Germany has a really nice genetic code. You have to work. Why shall I work? Because you have to eat. Why shall I eat? Because you have to work. Why shall I work? Because you have to eat. They do it the whole life like this. Just working for nothing. But in Krishna consciousness, there was another response. These devotees were ecstatic. When Prabhupada came to Germany, he gave it even another impetus. He said, first work, then samadhi. Ah, oh, Germans love that. They were like, just work. So I'm from a Slavian origin. This is more sentimental, you know. So I was just, Hare Krishna. They look at me, they were going, where is this guy coming from? They look at me, maybe. Who knows where he is? I remember one devotee passing me by going, listen, ugh, this is disgusting. But I knew the only way to prevail in such an environment is to go on Sankirtan. Everybody was doing that. So by the time I came back and did my first 40, 50 books in a day, they backed away. They were going, oh, maybe he is of some use. And I became like established. He's a devotee. He did 40, 50 books. That was actually the only qualification I could produce. Not what I chant or what I read, or that was not so important. But I did something. Yeah! That was initially like that. And we got fortunately a nice leadership at that time. You know, there was, just to mention, there was Sotra Swami and all this huge brains people. And they were just laughing. They said, because the result of such a passion work always culminates to ignorance. So we worked and worked, but there was no result. So everybody got confused. And then came the lecture. Hey, you forgot Krishna. Ah, you forgot. Why are you doing this? We were all, oh yeah, there is somebody Krishna, isn't it? Oh. Prabhupada encountered the same mentality. He said, these books are to be read also, not just to be sold. He had to really point this out because the ecstasy coming from Sankirtan was so intense, everybody was just distributing, but actually there was no reading. So that will end. It's always when problems come, they come out of ignorance. We forget. So therefore, we have to be always remembered. Therefore, there are these lectures, and there are these readings, and there are this. But it has to keep balance. Sometimes it goes another direction. We just study, study. Prabhupada told this even to his own personal servant, and he told this to me. Prabhupada said, reading, reading, reading. When are you going to do something? And he was like, I thought this is doing. No, this is reading. and then do something. Prabhupada was often criticized for that, that he's doing so much. Because action brings agitation. You encounter the material energy. That's called, you know, and then the material energy will pay you back. You know, it's a place which is difficult because material world is not designed for spiritual purposes. It's actually designed in its essential first impetus for the conditioned souls. But we are turning the whole thing around. Maintaining matter which becomes spiritualized by being engaged in Krishna's service. And that's a challenge. You know this. Maintenance. Oh, what a challenge. You clean something, it's dusty again. Like in the spiritual world, they have Chintamani stones. Here we have a dust. You don't have to do anything. Just sit and get dusty. That's all. They have to clean. I'm cleaning. You know, and then it's dusty again. Again cleaning. It's actually disgusting. It's actually stupid. It's boring. But for Krishna, oh, that's another thing. That's called devotional service. And then you discover the intricacies and the ecstasies from cleaning. That same cleaning suddenly produces another result. Prabhupada said it's normal that conditioned soul is lazy. Because it's uninspiring to do this, just bodily maintenance. You feed the body, you go to the toilet. Feed the body, go to the toilet. Then you sleep. You wake up, you go to the toilet. You feed the body, go to the toilet. You can do it for 100 years. Not very inspiring program. Really. And it gets worse. At the end, you cannot go to the toilet. Ooh. And you cannot eat. Ooh. And you cannot even sleep. Ooh. This is the result of this wonderful place. So actually, without Krishna consciousness, it's pretty disgusting. It's boring. It's amazing how these people get always the inspiration to do the same thing. Christmas, Christmas! The same thing again. You know? And then they go, ah! The baby is born! Ah! No, the baby is already dying. Prabhupada said it like this. Then they go, oh, he died. Oh, he was born. Oh, he died. Oh, he was born. It's over and over again the same thing. Prabhupada make even more graphical description of this material world. I cannot even repeat it, all of it. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Prabhupada was sometimes very graphical about this, especially the mating department. He was like very graphical. People were thinking, India, they got upset. Swamiji, you always talk about sex. Sannyasi shouldn't do that. Prabhupada said, no, this is preaching. This is Krishna is doing this. I can do that. And this is clearly established in this shloka. We are not arrogant and we are not abusive when we simply follow the predecessors. Prabhupada said it so nicely in one of the early recorded lectures. I always quote this because it's so fascinating. And it took me many years just to hear it. I played the lecture back and I said, what did he say? That was early recorded in this yoga studio. There was no ISKCON even. But the lectures were very long. The first recorded lectures were like, they were not 40 minutes. They were long. And Prabhupada explains the whole Bhagavad Gita. And on a certain point, Prabhupada could sense that the audience gets a little bit uneasy. Because Prabhupada was quoting all the time, authority. And that's in America, a touchy thing. Authority. I'm authority. You know? So Prabhupada, on a certain point, suddenly said, ladies and gentlemen, I am not criticizing, I am analyzing. And that's a beautiful thing. So in an analytical system, free of envy, that's where Krishna Kaviraj Goswami states over and over again, my dear reader, please don't be envious. Accept the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was wondering, why this envy always? But envy has many forms. Speculating is also envy. Because Krishna said something, I want to say something too. Krishna has his opinion, I have also my opinion. This is envy. You know, Krishna is God, I also want to be a little God. At least a little one. You know, Yeah? This is all envy. This is all envy-powered mechanism. So this is what is our problem, the envy. So when one is free of envy, simply analytical spirit, one can say heavy things. Prabhupada completely took shelter of the Shastra. Shastra Guru Sadhu. That's it. And then he said things which were just shocking. Even devotees were shocked. How can he say that? People get upset. And he did that. Because absolutely firm faith, this is Krishna talking, and this is, has to be said. Because that Krina said. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami said, I don't want to become involved in someone's likes and dislikes. I simply want to present a simple truth. And the simple truth, it's very pleasant. You know what the symptoms of somebody is who accepts simple truth? He becomes joyful. He becomes joyful. That's the first symptom of knowledge and truly humble. These are two symptoms you can verify somebody having real knowledge. Even after studying Shastra and studying Veda or whatever, but when the result is he's arrogant and miserable, something went wrong. Because there's these two symptoms, joyful and humble. Real humble. That you get proven by action. Humble means I simply present. I'm simply analyzing. I'm not criticizing. I know that this is a hot issue. The word is always going. We shouldn't criticize Vaishnavas. Well, let's see who is a Vaishnava. That would be an interesting point to address. You know, I can give a whole... Yeah. But I don't. Something which may be like Vaishnava, but it's not. Because Vaishnava is clearly defined. And there are even different levels of devotees. That's also clearly defined. Everything is scientifically presented. We only have to watch and analyze, not criticize. Criticism often involves that we want to actually appear to be heighten our position. From above, look, you are down, I am up. No, analyzing has nothing to do with that. Analyzing is simply symptoms. Like the doctor, he knows this and this symptoms are here, therefore it is this and this kind of disease. This is preaching. And Prabhupada, then in that regime, he could say really heavy things. People sometimes were going, well, you speak to me like you think I'm an idiot. You think I'm a fool? And Prabhupada, very cool, said, yeah, from all the observation and this Shastra here, analytically spoken, you're an idiot. And people were like, well, yeah, maybe I am an idiot. And they were completely speechless. How can he say such a thing in such a calm way, simply presenting, analytical? Yeah? So this is how we stay protected also, from offense, from all this. Because there will be criticism, but it should be analytical. Okay. So I guess, I don't know what the management, the timing, I have a tendency always to go on and on and on. So I'm aware that there is certainly a heavy schedule here in a temple. Finished, yes. Exactly. That's right. We are here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. I am in one of the main train stations, transcendental train station in Europe. I'm aware of that. I always feel like this when I come to Manor. I go like, okay, you know, how much time do I get before the next train comes? You know, it's like a transcendental train station. There's always another train coming. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.